Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here.
Hey everyone, this is Mary Caroline. Welcome back to Give Me Your Heart. This month's episode is actually the second half, or part two, of September's, so if you haven't listened to that yet, I would recommend giving it a quick run-through. This intro is just a heads up before we jump back in, so once you're caught up, go ahead and get your Bibles out and ready to go, and hit play on the rest of the episode. I want to go back to the word here. From John to Colossians, if you still have your Bible out, flip to the right. Colossians is in the New Testament after the four Gospels, and I always like speed sing the little song that I have for the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
Okay, so I didn't want to interrupt you, but so you are a dork too.
Yeah.
No, see, not me. I say General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
They sound silly, but they work. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." And in verse 2, it commands us to set our minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And that phrase, set your mind, I think it's very similar to take care to live in.
Wow. Okay. And they're both commands. Mm-hmm. They're both actions. I think it's very, very important. A while ago, I said to highlight the so that's in your Bible. Another thing I do when I read a passage and begin to break it down is find the commands. Green means go. So highlight it in green, underline it in green.
Yeah.
Find all the verbs in a passage and make them green. And I absolutely do think that set your mind and take care to live in are very, very similar. And it is the fight of my life to obey that. Listen, the thing that saved me, that led me to Christ in the first place, was this overwhelming sense that I was not good enough. That I was going to get to heaven at the end of my life, and God was going to say, "You know that you are a train wreck. No matter how hard you have ever tried to not be rebellious, to not cuss, to not be snarky, to not be lazy or unorganized, you have never been able to get it together, girl. Never been able to gain the approval of those around you. What in the world makes you think I'm going to let you in? No one else has ever approved of you. Why in the world would I?" That was the soundtrack in my head for years. I was on staff at a large church, employed as a worship leader.
Yeah.
When God saved me. I spent a lot of years, all through high school, all through college, all through my early married life, not enjoying the benefits of the gospel.
Yeah.
Living a religious life. Trying to be good enough. Feeling bad. And I'm a very harsh person. I'm very black and white. I call a spade a spade, and especially with myself. So when I talk to myself like that, I knew I was telling myself the truth. I was not being dramatic. I absolutely knew there is no way on my record I'm going to be good enough to get into heaven. There's no way I can please the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. And my self-assessment there, it was accurate. that was very helpful in the end. In my initial trusting Jesus for my salvation, because I knew I needed a savior. Mm-hmm. But after I came to him the very first time and confessed all of that, admitted that I was a train wreck, acknowledged that God would never accept my record, believed that Jesus's record could stand in the place of mine, that I could be accepted because of his perfect record. After all of that, I learned I had to keep coming back to him. I had to keep trusting him with it. I had to remain. Mm-hmm. Almost like putting a toddler in timeout.
Yeah.
To, you know, to keep bringing them back to you. Nope, you got to come back over here. Not timeout so much as like blanket training.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a lot of blanket training.
Yeah.
Like, I will give you all kinds of things to occupy yourself, but you got to stay on this blanket.
Yeah.
They had to stay there. They had to remain. And I had to stay focused on the gospel, the truth of it. I had to be intentional about good gracious. My migraine has transferred from my eyes to my lips. I had to be intentional about keeping my head space in the gospel.
Yeah.
And I had to replace the negative self-talk with the soundtrack I played for you a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have to. I still have to speak the truth of the gospel to myself. And you can't do that on a moment-by-moment basis if you don't know the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
Before you can speak it to yourself in the middle of the day, when you're struggling, you have to learn it. And there is no shortcut mm-hmm. to that. It requires diligence. It requires time.
Yeah. And in our fast-paced 21st century world, it's very, very hard to fit in the time to do that. You have school and work schedules. And that alone is keeping my generation busy from before mm-hmm. sunup to after sundown. And it's a fight to turn it off, to walk away from my computer and to shut it down. Because with online platforms and digital everything for work and school, your employers, your professors, basically everyone have access to you 24/7. And that's not even including social media and entertainment that is always at our fingertips.
You're not making this up.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. I'm just listening and I'm thinking that is something that you all have to deal with that is different
mm-hmm.
from anything in the past.
Yeah.
But when you add in a spouse and small children, those responsibilities and distractions are going to implode, explode.
Yeah.
And there will be constant opportunity to fail, to feel guilt. And there will be very little wiggle room to course correct or to feel like you're getting ahead. And that's why Dad and I learned to prioritize. We have zero history apart from one another.
Yeah.
I mean, that 30 years ago when we met, we were 16 and mm-hmm. 17.
Yeah.
So there is nothing before Clinton yeah. March. I mean, there's a lot before there. There's, you know, childhood. But there's no adulting
mm-hmm.
in my mind, in my life, without yeah. being one with your dad. And that was very immediate for us. Like, we wrote checks on one another, you know, like
mm-hmm.
before we were ever married.
Yeah.
I mean, we were sharing finances mm-hmm. and there is zero adulting ever
yeah.
that we didn't do together. And so we then got saved for real in our mm-hmm. not early 20s, early mid 20s, like think 24.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was pregnant with Luke.
Yeah.
And Luke was born end of December of 03. So I'm not going to figure that up right now. It's like 19 years or 21. Well, duh, he'll be 21 in December. Yeah. So I've been saved for, Dad and I've been saved for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And we've had to learn to prioritize. And that is why we make the choice for me to be at home full time.
Mm-hmm.
It is, spoiler alert here for anybody that doesn't realize this, but I don't stay at home because I'm a mother and have children to take care of. That is not our rationale. We keep me home because Dad and I have learned that for us to live out this concept of remaining and abiding and living in as a couple, we have to appropriate my time and energy so that I'm able to keep our focus on Christ.
Mm.
I mean, we were married 5 years before we had kids.
Yeah.
And we learned when he goes to work, he is a slave.
Yeah.
He belongs to whatever company he is working for.
Yeah.
His mind, his focus, his energy, his commitment, it is to the company's agenda for that day.
Yeah.
Now, when I get up in the morning, I'm a slave as well, but it's to the demands of our home.
Yeah.
But the catch there is I'm also the CEO. I get to determine the agenda, mm-hmm. the budget, the calendar, the projects, the long-term goals, the short-term goals. Your dad provides the money that pays for our home and all that goes with it. And he provides the leadership. Mm-hmm. He sets the course of our life. But my mindset, my attitude, my outlook, it very much provides what I would call like the structure for our day-to-day agenda.
Yeah.
How yeah. and where our household, our daily budget gets spent.
Mm-hmm.
How and where we spend our time, where we focus, where we put our energy. And in our marriage, we've learned that if mama is not being completely intentional about keeping our family focused on Christ, then guess what? We will not be focused on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We will not remain and abide and live in his love.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us back to you using the model prayer. The names for God, your prayer notebooks, our hymn of the month, our scripture memory, our catechism. You just schedule these things into our life. But you do them first and foremost to help you yourself.
Yes.
To set your own mind on
that
Christ.
That is the... I'm slapping my leg here. I mean, I'm having a leg slap, thigh slapping, aha, Southern woman moment here. Right? You're yeah. laughing so hard at me, but I'm like, yes, hand in the air. It is for me. That's mm-hmm. my point is I'm not doing this to shove these things down my children's throat.
Yeah.
I am. This would be me. This was me before I had children.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know people are listening to this and go, but you weren't saved. You're right. It took a long time of me reading the Bible and praying and doing these things we are talking about before the Holy Spirit opened my heart and opened my eyes.
Yeah.
It was very much, I can remember early mornings when I was pregnant with Dalton in Minneapolis, very, very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was out of state and I was there, this huge city, pregnant. And I was reading my Bible
mm-hmm.
and spending my time in prayer. And looking back on that, God was building.
Yeah.
He was preparing me to accept the gospel. And it was for me, but it is for your dad second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am in no way in charge of him. he is all man.
Yep.
There is not a non-manly man in that big, tough, gruff, manly man's body. I have never once been in charge of him since I was 17 years old, but I can turn his head.
Mm-hmm.
I can distract him. And for good or evil.
Yeah.
I can distract him from what is good and what is best.
Yeah.
And what I want to convey is that as a woman, I have the power to set the tone. I think the old adage is the head might be in charge, but the heart turns the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another one. Ooh, it's old too. If, let me see. It's if the man is the head of head of the home, how does that go? If the man's the head of the home, the woman is the heart.
The heart of it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So if those two kind of ideas, research, just practical wisdom shows that most men, not all, I don't want to get angry letters that that my husband's not this way. Okay. Not all husbands, not all men, but most feel that they are most successful when their wives are happy.
Mm-hmm.
When they have that joy we've been talking about, when they're content.
Yeah.
So most men, again, not all, but most men are going to let their wife determine what we might call the culture of their home.
Yeah.
Kind of if mama's happy, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, you know, or
happy wife, happy life. Yeah.
I'm in no way saying that men should be motivated to make, like, that should be their main motivation to keep their wife happy. Their motivation should be to honor God. So
yes.
Let's not get caught up in that. But if it is your situation that your husband is one of these very common men that feels most successful when his wife is happy, then the reality for you ladies and for me, that's my situation, is that we hold a lot of power.
Yeah.
So the question I try to keep ever in front of me is, what am I going to do with that power?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to waste it? That second statement that you brought out a while ago, the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means to me personally, Margie, how are you going to bring God's kingdom into your home? How are you going to bring God's will into your home?
And it makes me think of Moses. I've been reading through Genesis and just the beginning of the Old Testament this summer with a friend. And when God had Moses build the tabernacle in the wilderness, he had him pattern it from the tabernacle in heaven.
Okay. Made a copy of it, right?
And in those verses from Colossians that I read just a little bit ago, Paul commands us to set our minds on what is going on in heaven.
True.
And when you explained your self-talk to me earlier, it was based on the actual activities that are happening in heaven as we sit here talking.
Right, because Jesus, I mean, that's what's going on in heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus is advocating for us. So very good. Very good points. Very good examples. You're pulling out a theme from the Bible.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go cherry pick verses and situations, but we do want to prove scripture with scripture.
Yeah.
And that is another good study thing. When you're studying, you want to look for
patterns, like
chain references.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
If you have a good study Bible, you could Google that term, chain references. Think of a chain, a link, and it's linking scriptures from all over the Bible together by different themes, by different points.
Yes,
and that theme, I would say, in the Bible is that this world is not our home.
Yeah.
This physical reality is not our ultimate reality. Mm-hmm. We also live in a spiritual realm. All around us is a spiritual realm that we can't see. And that realm is the true reality.
Yeah.
That is the kingdom. Well, it's not the full kingdom of Christ, because Satan has been given a time, a dominion here.
Yeah.
But the kingdom of Christ is above these earthly kingdoms that we see ruling in our generation.
Yeah. And it's above the little kingdoms that we set up for ourselves.
Absolutely. So then break this verse about the kingdom down. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In a very practical sense, it means me. I'm a woman. In my situation, I am a wife. Furthermore, I am a mother. My husband has given me a certain amount of dominion over his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We rule it together. I have a choice every morning. Is this Father God's kingdom today? Or is this Margie's kingdom today?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad has a choice every morning. is he going to allow me to pursue God's kingdom for our home or Clint's kingdom?
Yeah.
And am I going to do God's will today or am I going to do my will? Mm-hmm. The answers to those questions are going to set the entire tone of the day.
Yeah. And I find myself asking myself that question multiple times sometimes, a day sometimes, not just in the morning.
And that's the reason for all the different ways Father tells us in the Bible to remain, to settle in, to stay put, to live in, to abide in his will.
Yeah.
And for all the reasons we've already mentioned, we won't be able to accomplish that without a plan in place. And you've heard me say this and say this and say this, but a good offense is the best defense.
Yeah.
We are not a strict, scheduled out family during the day.
Yeah.
We have a routine, but it is not a schedule. I would say from birth, everyone knows the routine. Chores, breakfast, morning Bible time, school, lunch, school, instruments, chores, supper, cleaning up supper, family devotions, prayer with dad, bedtime.
Yep.
Routine.
Yeah.
The bedtime routine, which is a whole list of things.
And then bed.
And I can just rattle it off because
it's routine.
Right. It's the point of a routine, I suppose, is that it becomes routine. It becomes habit. It becomes your default.
But yet it still looks different every single day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It never looks the same.
I have to be flexible with the demands of what season we're in, what extra chores there are to do outside. I mean, we live on a farm. There are different seasons that require different chores. What sports season are we participating in at the moment? What is that schedule? What ministry opportunities God brings our way? We only had one concert in the month of June.
Yeah.
Do we have any concerts in July? We went to Starby Creek.
Oh, yes, Starby Creek.
But, that didn't really require...
that wasn't really a concert.
No. And we made videos. We did things.
Yeah.
But now, in the fall... places kind of kick off with having lots of fall festivals and events.
Yeah.
And so that brings a lot of ministry our way. Another thing is the natural opportunities that pop up in a day for us to serve.
Yeah.
Did someone have a baby and need a meal?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a neighbor or a church member or one of our own family members that has a need? The routine that I set up, is just there to be to bring structure.
Yeah. And what are some practical benefits that you've seen? I mean, you've been doing this routine since I was little.
Practical benefits to the routine?
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing it for, I don't know, 20 years. And wouldn't you call yourself an extremely organized person?
Extremely organized?
Yes.
Was that a joke?
No, I'm serious. I mean, I'm obviously close to you. I know you well. I think it would be harder to be closer to you on a private, personal level than I am and have been for almost 20 years. But I've always thought of you as extremely organized.
Okay. Well, apparently I am not just a decent musician. I'm a great actor. That's all an act. Being extremely organized. I didn't know you thought that about me. That is not natural.
Kind of thought of you as at least a more organized person or individual.
I see myself as someone who works very, very hard to stay organized.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a musician. I'm a writer. I'm very creative. And I'm very easily distracted. I would say that the routine came out of necessity. And then it stuck because of necessity.
Uh-huh.
Remember the shame that I talked about earlier? When I was a young mother?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would say the routine came from, I mean, my grandmother had 8 children and my grandfather, everything was clean.
Yeah.
To a fault. I mean, everything ran on a,
Yeah.
And I met this woman late in her life. In all honesty, I have no idea what it was like when she had several small children.
Yeah.
We kind of build these things up in our minds. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe just trying to live up to those kind of standards made me really try to get the routine down.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Elliot famously said something close to this. When you don't know what to do the next thing. You know, that's an Elizabeth Elliot thing. It might be an Amy Carmichael, just do the next thing. And for me, I will get caught up in a million different little things.
Yep.
And completely lose my focus on what has to get done. And when I realize I've gotten off track, I can look at the clock and tell you exactly what we need to do next to get back into the routine. Mm. You know,
yeah.
Like if it's 3:30, I know what time supper needs to be.
Yeah.
And so then it throws me into this mode of, okay, the things that have to happen, find the meal plan.
Yeah.
And it's usually posted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets me right back into routine.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of helps me inherently feel the rhythm and know. You asked if there was like a, what's the word benefit that you used? Say it again.
Benefit?
Yes. Like a,
yeah.
I think that maybe something that people don't think about is the way that a routine brings security to small children.
Mm, definitely. Just
they feel safe in a routine. When you guys were little and we were out on the road, it was the routine that I set up and kept that was your security.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a house. It wasn't a bedroom. It wasn't a bunch of toys. It wasn't stuffed animals.
Yeah. And that routine, it'll change for every family.
Oh my word. It'll be different. You are not going to find me trying to tell other women how to set their family culture. Ain't none of my business. I will never tell you how to educate your kids or whether you need to work, you know, out of the home or in the home or some combination.
Yeah.
I'm not the person that's going to tell you your husband should stay home for a season. You should go to work or you should. No. There are a million ways to be in God's will and run your home to his glory. And mm-hmm. I could honestly sit here and give you example after example after example of families that are responding to the circumstances of life that they had no control over
mm-hmm.
with very unique situations that God is using to his glory. Mm-hmm. So I am always and only, and if I'm not, I hope someone straightens me out and kicks me in the rear and moves me back where I need to be quickly. I am always and only going to encourage women to be in the Word, to be in the Word, to love the Lord, and to love their families with their whole hearts.
Whatever that looks like, wherever they're at.
I want to give women resources to help them bring kingdom focus into their family's routine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the desire God has laid on my heart.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he has replaced the anxiety that I had with peace.
Mm-hmm.
He has replaced the depressed feelings that I had with joy. Notice I say depressed. I was never clinically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone that's listening, you know, especially young, isolated mamas, if you ever feel like you could hurt yourself
mm-hmm.
or are just in despair, you know, contact me, reach out, get a hold of someone. Depression is real, and postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
while I was never diagnosed with that, it is definitely something that I was on the fringes of many, many, many times.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want anyone to think that you are somehow not close enough to God if you are experiencing depression.
Yeah.
That is a lie, and you need to get help. And you need to reach out, and there won't just be zero judgment here at Give Me Your Heart. There will be zero judgment with millions of women.
Yeah.
Because it's just not something we talk about,
mm-hmm.
but we've all been there. Every mother has been there and wants to help you.
Mm-hmm.
God, he has replaced my insecurity with absolute assurance. And the thing that brought me from those negative emotions to living in the reality of those positive emotions was at the time and is today focusing on Christ in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Putting those two things together.
Yeah.
You don't get Christ without the Word, because mm-hmm. Christ is the Word. And you put those two things together and you have got dynamite. You've got power. Abiding in Him moment by moment, day by day, that is what brought me from death to life, mm-hmm. from negative to positive. Yeah. And I love Him. He is my life. And if I can model that for you kids and give you a hunger that refuses to settle, that says, mm-hmm. I don't want my life to be without the kind of peace that my mom and dad have, then I feel I'll have succeeded in this life. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not say my success would be dependent on my children choosing to live their life in God's truth. I did not say that, because my kiddos, you guys are going to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But my success is dependent on whether or not I model a life of faith in front of you.
Yeah.
I am responsible to you. At a certain age, I'm no longer responsible for you.
Yeah.
And there's a very important distinction there.
Yeah, very important.
Well, one of the ways that I abide and I keep my focus on Christ is music. Mm-hmm. And I want us to sing one of my absolute favorite hymns. It has gotten me through so many hard, long mothering days. Day by Day is the name of it.
Day by Day is one of my favorites as well.
Okay. Well, good, because we're going to sing it. So if you all out there in podcast land will give us a hot minute here, we need to shift over to the other side of our room and sit down at our instruments, and we need to get our other mics, get in front of them, they're set up. And we're just going to worship Jesus for a few minutes. It's my sincere prayer that wherever you are at in your day, right this very moment, you will join us in focusing on Christ and abiding in Him. Mm-hmm. And this is how we're going to end today's episode, is with this moment of worship. So we're going to go ahead and sign off.
Yeah.
And sing this song and just praise Jesus for a little bit. So until we talk again, give God your hearts, ladies. Yeah.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my care fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As Thy day strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide.
refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Psalm chapter 91.
Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust